Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Lots of football news from Africa and Europe on Monday's show. But we kick off here in the United States with American-style football. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers routed the visiting Kansas City Chiefs 31-9 to win Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, Florida. Joining us now with details is Dan Friedel. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Super Bowl 55 looked very similar to Super Bowls in the recent past on Sunday. Quarterback Tom Brady was out on the field once again tossing touchdown passes to his favorite receiver, Rob Gronkowski. The only difference? This time, they were doing it for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers instead of the New England Patriots. Brady won his fifth Super Bowl MVP award as he threw three touchdown passes in his 10th Super Bowl, leading the Buccaneers to a surprising blowout win, 31-9, over the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. It's Brady's seventh Super Bowl victory. He had won six since 2002 with the New England Patriots. It was his first for Tampa Bay. For those soccer fans out there, Tampa Bay's owner also owns Manchester United. We first saw Brady as a fresh-faced young man who helped the New England Patriots, who were then the underdogs against the defending champion St. Louis Rams in that 2002 game. Brady became the oldest player in a Super Bowl on Sunday, playing at 43, almost two decades after he played in his first one. Brady and the Buccaneers got off to a good start against the Chiefs, whose offense was expected to be the star of the game. Patrick Mahomes is perhaps the game's best young quarterback. He's the leader of the Chiefs, and they have one of the game's best tight ends, Travis Kelce, and one of the game's most exciting players, wide receiver Tyreek Hill. And the trio put together an outstanding season, once again making the Super Bowl as the AFC's best team. Now, neither team had lost in a couple of months, but only one could finish the season on an undefeated streak, and that was the Buccaneers. Tampa played three of the best quarterbacks in the recent history of the NFL in the Super Bowl and the playoffs. Brady was asked how his team's defense did so well against Mahomes, and future Hall of Famers Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints and Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
They stepped up to the challenge, and you know, you go up against a guy like Pat, incredible player, and Aaron, MVP 2 weeks ago, they played incredible, and then Drew, they played great. They stepped up, they rose to the occasion, and we needed it because playing extremely talented offenses, but just so happy we all came to play tonight.
That's Super Bowl 55 champion Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sonny, we talked about Tampa defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh, who is the son of African parents. Suh compiled 1.5 sacks of Mahomes in the Super Bowl. It's his first victory in the big game in his long career. Tampa's coach is Bruce Arians, who had been known as an outstanding assistant coach, but not a successful head coach. He came to the Buccaneers after taking 1 year off, and then after a tough first season, managed to entice Brady, who has 1 year remaining on a two-year contract. The Bucs got their three Super Bowl touchdown scorers just this year: Gronkowski, running back Leonard Fournette, and wide receiver Antonio Brown. Arians worked with defensive coach Todd Bowles and offensive coach Byron Leftwich to create a well-rounded team suited for the playoffs. Arians is the oldest coach to ever win a Super Bowl at 68.
We protected the football. We had great protection. We found a couple guys like Antonio and Gronk. Both their touchdowns were
more improv plays, and just did a great job. Great line, great tight ends. Everybody just did a hell of a job. Team effort.
His mother, 95-year-old Kay Arians, was there to watch it in person, part of a socially distanced 25,000-person crowd during the coronavirus pandemic. The Super Bowl was the first ever to be played in the home stadium of one of the teams. Arians said it was nice to have the morning of the biggest night of his career at home in Tampa.
I had a great morning this morning playing with my 2-year-old grandson out in the backyard and pushing him on the swing, and then came to the game. So it, that's what makes this all so gratifying, is to be able to share it with our family.
That's Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm Dan Friedel for the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Dan. Now let's go to Cameroon, where the Atlas Lions of Morocco won their second consecutive African Nations Championship, or CHAN, football title. Picking up the story, here is Samson Omale.
Defending champion Morocco won the 2020 CHAN tournament, designed exclusively for players plying the trade in their domestic league for the second time, by overcoming Mali's bold challenge 2-0 in a thrilling final at the Amadou Hayidou Stadium in Yaoundé on Sunday night. 2 second-half headers by Abdoumouna Boutelli and captain Ayoub El Kabi sealed the victory for the Atlas Lions in the tournament in Cameroon to hand them the title. André Mirabou Mahoub is a journalist with Canal 2 Television in Cameroon, and Benin Bouma Gouma is a Cameroonian sports football commentator. They both described the performance of the North Africans as deserving of a champion.
I think very, very much that they worked really very, very hard to have gotten to this state of the championship and to have lifted the trophy. It is a great work that the Moroccan team put up.
In this edition, there was Morocco and the other teams. Morocco was well prepared, and you can just see the score. They beat Cameroon the semifinal 4-0. Now they are in 12 games in championship, Africa championship, without defeat. 2 editions without a single defeat.
Having covered the tournament for 3 weeks, I asked both journalists to describe what stood out for them during the competition.
For me, the main success of this edition of African Championship is the organization and the courage of CAF and CONCACAF Cameroon to organize a competition during a health crisis.
What stood out for me during this tournament, and I think I really appreciate it right to the end, is first of all the turnout not only of the teams but the supporters of the teams.
Away from the CHAN tournament now to the FIFA Club World Cup, where Al Ahly of Egypt are representing the African continent at the FIFA Club World Cup. Head coach Peter Masumani said it will be a wonderful story for his side to secure victory over FIFA Club World Cup favorites and European champions Bayern Munich in Monday's semi-final in Al Rayyan.
We just have to work on the anxiety of the players, and they must do what they always do. We must never change and do new things because we're playing Bayern. We do exactly what brought us here and exactly what made us to win the last game, and that's our best. If we give our best, and our best is not good enough, then we've given everything.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah scored, but it wasn't enough to beat Manchester City, who left Liverpool's title defense in tatters after cruising to a 4-1 victory at Anfield. The troubled champions were blown away by Pep Guardiola's side, who became the first team to score 4 times in a league game away to Liverpool in 12 years. LK Gundogan, Raheem Sterling and Phil Foden all recorded their names on the score sheet to ensure the Premier League leaders move 10 points clear of fourth place Liverpool after their first win at Anfield since 2003. Here's Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola's take on the match.
Well, most important is the 3 points. Of course, I'm so proud for the guys. To be the guys who break a record for a long time, that means how difficult it is. Hopefully next time we can do a good performance or similar performance with the people, with the spectators, because Anfield with people and without is completely different. Because I know, I could imagine after 1-1 what hell could be Anfield and the influence for his players. But yeah, it's good, especially when we miss the penalty and especially when we concede the goal, how good we react in this position. Nobody make a step back. Everyone step forward with a huge personality. Raheem Sterling make an incredible game again, like last season has done. What a phenomenal performance has done. And the rest, the quality of the players, with a feel, especially the second and fourth goal. But the commitment for everyone, for the guys who didn't play in the stands, supporting the players. So, yeah, 3 points today.
There was Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola lauding his team's phenomenal performance against Liverpool. An Ollie Watkins goal in the second minute was enough to give Aston Villa 1-0 win over Arsenal at Villa Park, while Harry Kane returned from injury and found the net in Tottenham's 2-0 victory over West Brom. The England international's tally for Spurs now stands at 208 goals, joined second in the all-time scoring charts alongside Bobby Smith, and 58 goals behind Jimmy Greaves' tally of 266. His South Korean strike partner Son Heung-min sealed Spurs' victory with an emphatic finish from Lucas Moura's pass to send them to 8th in the table with 36 points. Spurs visit Everton in the FA Cup 5th round on Wednesday, before travelling to leaders Manchester City in the Premier League on Saturday, while West Bromwich Albion host Manchester United in the Premier League next Sunday. Dominic Calvert-Lewin secured a dramatic point for Everton in the 5th minute of stoppage time, as they twice came from behind to hold Manchester United in a 3-3 thriller at Old Trafford. Edinson Cavani, Bruno Fernandes and Scott McTominay netted United's goal, while James Rodriguez, French midfielder of Malian descent Abdoulaye Doucouré and Calvert-Lewin sealed the draw. This was just the fourth time Manchester United led a Premier League home game by at least 2 goals and failed to win, with Everton responsible for the past 2 occasions. Manchester United's boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had this to say.
Second half, we played some good football, but we conceded 3 goals. It's from 3 shots on target. You can't, when you have 3 shots between the posts and you concede 3, that's disappointing, of course, because we played some very, very good stuff.
There was Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his team's draw with Everton at Old Trafford. Leicester City's outside hopes of winning the Premier League title also suffered a blow after being held to a goalless draw at Midland rivals Wolves. Brendan Rodgers' side now lie in third place, 7 points adrift of league leaders Manchester City, who also have a further game in hand. Fringe star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored earlier on as Paris Saint-Germain eased to a 2-0 win at bitter rivals Marseille in the French league. The 22-year-old struck in the 8th minute with a confident finish after sprinting clear from near the halfway line. And strike partner Mauro Icardi flicked a looping header over French shortstopper of DR Congolese descent Steve Mandanda in the 23rd minute. The Parisians remain in third place, 3 adrift of leaders Lille, who secured a 2-0 victory at struggling Nantes with both goals scored by Canada forward Jonathan David. Lyon are currently second in the league standings after securing a no-nonsense 3-0 home win over 10-man Strasbourg. Cameroonian footballer Karl Toko Ekambi and Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay both scored to leave Lyon on 52 points from 24 games. Alexandra Golovin scored a hat-trick and set up the other goal as 4th place Monaco won 4-3 at Nîmes for 7th straight league win. The Russian midfield star from the 2018 World Cup also played striker Kevin Volland through to score the fourth in the 76th minute. Moving on to the Spanish league, Rafael Varane's late goal saw Real Madrid come from behind to win 2-1 at Huesca on Saturday as their unconvincing form continued. While the points might ease some of the pressure on French coach of Algerian descent Zinedine Zidane, it was far from an accomplished performance, as Madrid struggled to make the most of their dominance of the ball against La Liga's bottom side. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi also came off the bench to spark a Barcelona comeback, as the Catalans fought back from 1-0 down against Real Betis to win 3-2 at the Benito Villamarín. The result sees Barcelona, who have now won 6 games in a row in all competitions, move up to second place in the La Liga table, once again leapfrogging rivals Real Madrid and Sevilla. League leaders Atletico Madrid host Celta Vigo at the Wanda Metropolitano Stadium on Monday. And in Italy, Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored his 500th club goal in AC Milan's game against Crotone in Serie A on Sunday. His close-range finish after a neat 1-2 with Rafael Leao put the Serie A leaders ahead before scoring his second on the 64th minute. Ante Rebic also netted in the 69th and 70th minute to complete a 4-0 victory for Milan. The Rossoneri currently tops the standings, followed by Inter Milan, who secured a comfortable 3-0 win at mid-table Fiorentina. Midfielder Nicolo Barella opened the scoring with a glorious sculling strike from the edge of the area before Ivan Perisic wrapped up the win with a tap-in from Moroccan footballer Achraf Hakimi's excellent low cross. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku also had a goal ruled out for offside. Finally, Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 23rd goal of the season as Juventus beat Roma to move ahead of them in the pursuit of Serie A leaders Milan. Ronaldo ended a run of 3 games without a goal with a low finish into the bottom corner from 18 yards to ensure the reigning champions moved into third, 5 points behind Inter and with a game in hand. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel Dassault, and I represented Ghana in the 200 meters at the Olympic Games in Rio 2016, and you are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Now let's go to Ivory Coast, where more and more girls and women are playing rugby. In this report by Emma Camara, VOA's Carol Gunsberg tells us how girls are tackling this rough-and-tumble sport.
As a girl, Damon Sanatha dreamed of playing rugby professionally, but didn't have the money or access to training. Determined that no other girl should be kept from the game, 4 years ago she began coaching Sabroko, a women's team in Bingerville. Sanatha brought the team to play at the National Institute for Youth and Sports in Markori, a college in suburban Abidjan.
I was a former player. I stayed on staff to supervise the girls. I would like the sisters to go as far as possible, ensure that there is a place for girls in this sport.
Rugby can be a rough contact sport, but 15-year-old Berta Assista, who has a different coach, is fine with that.
I started rugby thanks to my friend. She invited me to come and watch how it is played. On the second day, I put on athletic clothes to train a little. Since that day, I have loved rugby.
Isabel Yebwa, secretary of the Ivorian Rugby Federation's Women's Commission, says it's about time women players are getting recognized.
Girls have been training with clubs for a very long time.
The Rugby Federation organizes an annual tournament among clubs. It's also a showcase to find promising players who can go on to play for the national team.
So we are doing a championship to select the good female players, let them form a team, and also participate in international competitions.
What's clear is that many girls who want to play rugby now can get the chance. Of 21 official clubs in Ivory Coast, more than half are for females. For Mama Camara in Marcory, Côte d'Ivoire, Carol Gunsberg, VOA News.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
American tennis player Francis Tiafo will have a tough task in his next match. He'll take on defending champion Novak Djokovic in the second round of the Australian Open. Tiafo and Djokovic both won their opening matches Monday in Melbourne, where play began at the year's first major tournament about 3 weeks later than originally planned because of the global pandemic. Tiafo topped Italy's Stefano Travaglia in straight sets 7-6, 6-2, and 6-2. And Djokovic also won in straight sets, beating the Frenchman Jeremy Chardy 6-3, 6-1, and 6-2. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure Djokovic and local favorite Nick Kyrgios of Australia don't socialize much off the court. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne on their chippy relationship.
It's common knowledge that there's not much love lost between Nick Kyrgios and Novak Djokovic. Recently, the Australian referred to the world number one as a tool. Djokovic followed up by saying Kyrgios is a very good player, but he has no respect for him off court. Kyrgios has responded, saying he can't quite understand why Djokovic has no respect for him off court, and cited all the charitable work he's been doing during the pandemic for the disadvantaged. And so it goes. On the court, both had straight set wins. Simona Halep was untroubled in the first night match, and the French Open champion Iga Swiatek had a solid result. Serena Williams demolished Laura Siegemann 6-1, 6-1, and she looked comfortable on the court, but Serena indicated she wasn't comfortable. Her outfit was noticeable, though, and it was a tribute to something that the late Flojo wore.
Inspiration from Flojo, and I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant, so brilliant. And that's where we started. Obviously, we made some changes and tweaks to it, and it became this.
Alexander Zverev went four sets, but his compatriot and former Aussie Open winner, Angie Kerber, crashed, while Gael Monfils, the Frenchman, was left in tears after losing in five sets. Day two will see Sofia Kenin start the defense of her title.
Obviously, I would love to defend it, but preparing, you know, physically and mentally, knowing that I got to be physically there, you know, my game and my movement, everything. Mentally, I got to handle my emotions and understand that whoever I'm going to play, they're obviously going to play with no pressure, and, you know, which is expected, and they're probably going to play better against me. So I have to somehow try to handle my nerves and try to, you know, stick to my game plan and, hope that I win.
Rafa Nadal's suspect back will get a testing, and at night, world number one and local hero Ash Barty will be on court along with Stefanos Tsitsipas. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As Prince Nesta reported earlier in the show, English Premier League leader Manchester City scored a big 4-1 road victory against Liverpool on Sunday. Joining us now with more reaction is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's been 18 years since Man City won a match inside Anfield Stadium. And with that losing streak now snapped, they've claimed their 10th straight Premier League victory and their 14th consecutive win in all competitions. Man City scored all four of their goals in the second half on Sunday. The first two were made by German midfielder Ilkay Gundogan, followed by one each from Raheem Sterling and 20-year-old British youngster Phil Foden, whose performance manager Pep Guardiola says was a highlight of the match.
Yeah, the first half we struggled a lot to find him. He was not in the position he should be. That's why we struggled a little bit to find him. When playing the middle, sometimes he has some difficulty to understand what he has to do in the place where he has to move. right now he's moving perfectly in the sides as a winger. And of course, the second and fourth goal were outstanding, phenomenal, and because the quality is there. But we cannot forget, he's just 20, 21 years old, have an incredible, huge margin to improve. And I know he's a guy who's so calm, he's so... He stay in the position he has to stay. He want to learn. He loves to play football. And I'm pretty sure he will improve.
Manchester City are the current leaders in the Premier League and look poised to reclaim the title that they lost to Liverpool last season. Man City will next travel to Swansea to play the fifth round of the FA Cup on Wednesday. Their next Premier League match will be on Saturday against Tottenham. Meanwhile, Sunday was the fifth defeat for the European champions this season, and the loss has all but crumbled Liverpool's defense of the title. After the match, manager Jurgen Klopp tried to explain where things went wrong.
When they scored their first goal, we scored the equalizer, and then we made two massive mistakes. That's how it is. And they used that and pretty much game over. It's in a game when you have such a good moment in the game. That was tonight. These two goals were obviously the killer of the game. But no, everybody knows that, and we don't have to talk or speak around that. That's the truth. And then Phil Foden, with a brilliant individual effort, scores the fourth one, and that's why the result is there. So the two things are the result is actually the absolute opposite of what we wanted. The performance is what we wanted for the majority of the game. But in the end, we lost anyway.
Brazilian goalkeeper Alisson Becker, so often one of Liverpool's most reliable players, made two game-costing errors on Sunday. Klopp was quick to point out everyone makes mistakes, but not always at the right time.
So he's obviously very disappointed, and he goes, "Well, not today, not today." And then I said, "Yeah, that's a problem with mistakes. You cannot decide when you make them. The only thing we can do, we learn of it, and that's what he will do, and will never happen to him again." So I'm pretty sure. And that's it. But tonight it was decisive, I would say. It's okay. He saved our lives. I don't know how often, and he's an absolutely world-class goalie. And tonight, some things went a little bit wrong. We have to take that.
Liverpool are currently in fourth place, 10 points behind Man City, and are now hoping to just stay in the top four. But Klopp says he's optimistic his side will stay in contention.
Don't forget the good stuff, because I said, playing against City football like we did today, that calm and stuff like this, and in small spaces, that was really, really good. That was really good. And so we will take that as well. But I know people are mostly only interested in results, and that isn't arrived again. So we have to take that, and we'll take that.
Liverpool will next travel to third place Leicester City for their Premier League match on Saturday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, in African athletics, Cape Town's premier running event, the Two Oceans Marathon, scheduled for April 3rd, has been canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The 56-kilometer race is the second largest ultramarathon in South Africa, and it's been held since 1970. According to a press release by the race organizers, and I quote, "The current pandemic climate and the health risks around hosting a mass participation event are far too significant for the event to proceed safely." The Two Oceans Marathon was also canceled in 2020 when it would have been the 51st running of the ultramarathon. When it was last held in 2019, the race had more than 12,000 finishers. The men's and women's winners, both from South Africa, were Bongmusa Mthembu and Gerda Stein. And that wraps up the February 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it.